Hello and welcome to the Thursday, August 21st, 2014 edition of the Sands and Stumps and Us Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Looks like we got a little bit more detail on the root cause that led to the compromise of 4.5 million patient records at community health systems that was released earlier this week. According to TrustedSec, it turns out that the intrusion started with the Heartbleed bug of all bugs in a Juniper VPN system. Now, it was known that Juniper VPNs were vulnerable. Juniper actually was very quick to come up with a patch, if I remember correctly, and based on my notes, I think it was less than 2 days after the bug became public that Juniper did release a patch and provided guidance that users should change passwords for their SSL appliances. It is not clear from what I have seen published how long it took community health systems to patch their Juniper systems, so whether they did that rather quickly or not. According to one news report, the actual breach started in April, which was also the month when Heartbleed came out, so actually they may not have had much time to actually patch it. But if you remember, Heartbleed back then was exploited very quickly, essentially within a day and less of the actual bug announcements. We had reliable working exploits out there, so it's very likely that their VPN server got compromised within days or hours of that vulnerability being announced and just after or as the patch was released by Juniper. And a group of the University of Michigan did perform a test of traffic light control signal and, well, big surprise, found them to be inadequately secured. Turns out there are a couple problems with the systems they investigated. For example, one option how they communicate wirelessly is over an 802.11-like network. It's not exactly 802.11, so it somewhat uses security through obscurity by slightly changing the protocol, which does prevent normal 802.11 equipment from connecting to their network. But once you figured out how the network works or just bought a wireless card from the manufacturer, then there's very little security to actually connect to the network and manipulate it. In addition, there's also an 900 megahertz network available that is slightly more difficult to penetrate. It uses a more proprietary standard that's not so easy to actually then intercept, but still no big encryption hurdles or so to overcome here. Lastly, the FTP server that is being used to control these traffic lights, to upload control files and such, well, it had the manufacturer's default password. Interestingly, the one thing that sort of prevents more disasters from happening with traffic lights is actually a hardware security feature, an actual circuit that is built into the traffic lights that does prevent unsafe configurations, for example, green lights in both ways. However, if such an illegal command is received by the traffic light, it then turns itself into a sort of a fail-safe mode where the light either blinks yellow or red in the two different directions to prevent cars from crashing into each other. But again, you would probably still have quite a bit of congestion. And while we focus a lot on sort of cutting edge and new vulnerabilities and exploits, sometimes it's also important to remember that old vulnerabilities tend to stay around for quite a while. Kaspersky just looked at the Stuxnet vulnerability. If you remember, that was a vulnerability patched back in 2010 by Microsoft, mostly affected Windows XP and Windows Server 2003. And according to Kaspersky, there are still 20 million computers infected worldwide with malware that targeted this vulnerability. The top countries that Kaspersky sees still being vulnerable to this are Vietnam, India, and Algeria. Of course, these are also countries where you're more likely going to find old operating systems like Windows XP running likely on hardware that can't easily be upgraded. And Google Chrome will soon start warning users if an HTTPS website they're using is using a certificate that is signed using the SHA-1 algorithm. That algorithm has been deprecated for a while now and should no longer be used, but still certificate authorities are handing out certificates that are signed with that particular algorithm. What Google Chrome will do is, if they're encountering a certificate that was signed with SHA-1 and is valid after 2016, then they will mark it as insecure but not actually pop up a warning if the certificate is valid until January 1st, 2017 or later. Then it'll actually pop up a message warning the user of the insecure site. Well, and that's it again for today. Thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.